Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki, Purnell, and Chris. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
I'm now a like usual on this one, and I don't know how I feel about that.
You've been Tuesdays for like months now.
And I have? Jesus Christ. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I didn't realize that
you like officially took over Cole's position of being on every episode.
Oh, fuck my life.
It only took 4 years,
but you know, I guess we just needed some women on every show, and you know, for a while there was someone else here and it was okay, and then I had to step in, and why did I have to step in? Why? What's wrong with me?
For games like
because
Scarlet.
You're bored.
It felt like, you know,
fair.
I feel like
I can't argue against that.
Yeah.
You were saying something, Chris?
I was saying honk shoe. Beep, 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 beep. Honk that shoe.
Beep, 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 beep. Not at all what you were saying, but sure.
How is everybody's
doing the
weekend?
Cartoon snow.
Anybody do anything fun this weekend?
I played the first game I'm going to talk about today, and it was great.
What the hell did I do this weekend? Yeah, I bought board games that I shouldn't have, and now I don't know where to sit anymore.
I definitely bought stuff I shouldn't have.
Yeah. I did that at the end of last month.
Oh, I won a Mario Party tournament. That was cool.
Nice. Tell us about that. I want to hear that.
A friend of mine, he does board like bar events now. He's trying to get like, you know, video games out and about. So like I'm doing board games, he's doing it for video games at some local bars. So I try to go out to his things to support him, even though I generally think I'm bad at the games. Like the last one was Mario Kart, and it was an embarrassment to say the least. But this time it was Mario Party Superstars. And I entered it, again, expecting to get stomped, but apparently the Mario Party, blessing, as my friends like to call it, they think it's a curse because they hate losing, but apparently it applies to strangers, too, because I was that rude, like, who the hell is that guy? I'm like, yeah. start doing the taunt noises and everything. Have a little shy guy impression I do around my friends, and I was like, oh it's coming, like, like, look out, bitches, I'm done. But, it was pretty fun. It was a couple. They didn't do the full board, which made me sad, but I understand because of time. So it was pure mini games. So you couldn't play, you know, you couldn't call like Star Luck or anything. It was pure mini game skill.
All right.
Okay, and that was basically what I was about to ask. So I'm glad you said that yourself.
I was going to say, you don't have to be good at Mario Party to win at Mario Party.
So that's the thing I always chuckle at, because I win consistently at the normal game too. So I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the Mario Party Star Luck can happen to anybody. It just happens to me very often, I guess. But yeah, the mini games came through too. And now I wish I played more Superstars, because I was feeling really nostalgic for some of the games on it that I haven't played since like the ancient days. Like I was like, I hope Mushroom Mix-Up's on here. I hope Mushroom Mix-Up on here. It was just from Mario Party 1. And it was my favorite game in that one. He was like, you'll be happy to know it is in this game. It's like, yes. And it did come up in the finale, and I ran ramshot on that fucker. It was great. I can't remember what I did on Sunday, though. It's killing me. But it almost doesn't matter, because I won a Mario Party tournament, and that makes me happy.
Did you win any money?
It was like a gift card to the bar. Nice. No, I got one gift card to the bar, so next couple beers are free.
Hell yeah.
Very nice.
I mean, I was happy to win late. That's right. I went just for the fun, but winning a prize in a tournament I didn't have to pay to be in, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, what did you do this weekend?
One more.
Well, did a little shopping, and I got a, another base.
How many does that make that now?
I don't know the number right now. I have to, like, I'll have to calculate. I'll have to, like, add them up.
If I could keep track of how many cats I have, you could keep track of how many base you have.
Yeah, I'm just slightly terrified.
I can just throw a, base in the closet and forget it.
True.
Sorry, Aki, what was that?
I'm just a little scared that you don't know how many you have, and it's like, that either your mind is completely going, which I mean, I guess fair on this podcast, or you have so fucking many, and that scares me, because I know that shit ain't cheap.
I think neither of those things, it's a little column A and a little column B, mm-hmm. and that neither of them are particularly concern worthy. All right, I'm going to write them out. I'll get back to you on how many bases I have. I've done this before. In fact, I'm looking through my computer to see if I've saved a document.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Anyways. So, yeah, that's a thing. I did play Mario Kart World for finally, and I did roll credits on it. It's very funny me because I pointed this out on Blue Sky, but I love that the series started out as just, I mean, it started out as like, can we make F-Zero two-player? But then it became Mario and became a Mario Kart racing game. But it's like, what I love about it is that it started off as like Mario and his friends are like, you know, racing go-karts around these familiar locales. You know, courses based on familiar Mario themes. And then it's just like, you know, by the time I got to like the final, like, regular cup and was like, you know, doing the Rainbow Road this time around and stuff, it just like all the grandeur of like this game. It's like every time I race my little go-kart, I feel like, you know, we're launching a space shuttle. It's just like into like a neon like space station or something like that. It's just like, it's crazy how grand the game is now, because it's just kind of like absorbed all of the other Nintendo racing games and like all of the other, like, I don't know, it has so much in it. And it's like I said, for Switch 2, it's like they're really popping off because it's the first, you know, new Mario Kart in so many years, and you know, it's launching a system. So yeah, it made me laugh. I was feeling all kinds of emotions while I was playing this kart racing game. So thank you, Nintendo, for providing me these weird feelings.
Cool. Aki, what did you do this weekend? Oh, go ahead, Brunel.
No, I just made a quit.
Oh. Aki, what'd you do this weekend?
Besides
Liza
all-
P. Nothing. Okay. Great weekend.
Yeah, I don't think I did anything. It was. I had fun. Fuck you.
Has anybody eaten a donut lately?
I have not.
I haven't eaten a random donut in Corey. Years.
I just want a donut. So, like, I'm thinking.
It's been at least a month, but yeah, I've had a donut, but it's been like a month or so.
Okay. Yeah, it's been like it's been like 3 or 4 months for me.
It's been around a year for me. Ish.
Wow.
I don't know if I could guess the last time I ate a donut.
This morning?
No. Donut.
Oh.
No, we don't get donuts often. We don't have any like good donut places around here. We don't have a Krispy Kreme.
You know, I used to live one of those mom and pop style ones anywhere? They're usually pretty good, even if they're, you know, not well known.
We have a Dunkin' that half asses everything, and we have a Sheetz.
It's Dunkin'. Boo. I don't know what that one is, but I'm going to guess it's bad. Oh!
Yeah.
Ugh.
They have great food, but, I mean, they used to carry Krispy Kreme, but they decided to do their own baking now, so, no.
Hurts, don't it?
Ah! Man.
That was awful.
Hurts, don't it? that's a good one. I used to live right across the street from a freestanding Krispy Kreme. It was down, it was like palatial. It was like a big Krispy Kreme. Like, you go in, it's got, like, the big, like, you know, the metal bar conveyor belt, like, type thing and everything. And it's just, like, you know, as soon as you walk in, they just hand you one of the donuts from the from the assembly line. It's just hot. And you're like,
I've never been to a proper donut place then.
Yeah, that's
that hurts my soul.
Yeah, a proper Krispy Kreme. Yeah, proper Krispy Kreme. They'll hand you a free donut as soon as you come in just to get you started.
Oh, not just that, but I mean the, also the visual display of all the donuts getting made, and yeah, you can watch them making them.
And they have a light outside that turns on when the donuts are hot. And
they understand that what they make is delicious crack cocaine, don't they? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Krispy Kreme is like unapologetically like on their game as far as that goes. Now, I don't like those donuts very much because there's just too much sugar. It's just that's too intense.
What a donut is for? It's supposed. It's a delivery system for obscene amounts of sugar into your body.
Yeah, the thing is,
nice amount.
I like a plain chocolate donut. That's just like a plain donut that has a little blanket of chocolate over the top, and like that's it. Sprinkles if it's my birthday or something. I don't know.
See, but, I like cream and custard
filled. Jelly donuts. So about yeah, those jelly are good. Donuts.
A cream and custard one is like good, as especially as long as I have like something to like a milk or something to wash it down with.
Oh yeah, strawberry milk with them is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, speaking
there's
my language,
Krispy Kreme to me is over an hour away. That's
that sounds like you just have an hour trip to make.
That's right, day trip.
Hey, you made it to VGMCon for less. I'm just kidding.
I did.
I'm just kidding. I love VGMCon, but it doesn't have donuts, so.
True. I wonder if there's a Krispy Kreme around VGMCon hotel.
I wonder. I didn't ever check to see what the situation was in the upper Midwest for donuts. It has to be good. It's the upper Midwest. It has to be good.
I just know when I go to MAGFest, I DoorDash rallies constantly.
Which is completely fair, because that is one of the most delicious places to get food on the planet, even if it is extremely expensive.
Like, one of my all-time favorite MAGFest memories will be this past year of us just having checkers at, like, 2 a.m. with Grant and his brother fucking around and playing Xbox. It was...
Nice.
Really cool.
Nice. I'm taking a look to see what it's local, or if it's a local thing, or if it's, they gotta have a history thing. No.
2 a.m.
So the donut place that I am particularly fond of around here is Shipley. And I don't know that it's local to Texas, or if it's got all kinds.
I've never heard of it myself, but that doesn't sound much.
I'm literally pulling out Google Maps and scrolling backwards to see where it is. It's largely in Texas and Louisiana. Wait, is that Louisiana?
Don't know with the map, not me.
In your face.
That's more Texas. It's always more Texas.
I mean, Texas is a big fucking place, so.
Yeah, there's some in other states.
Honestly, far.
I'm gonna scroll in and see if there's any near Joe.
This is riveting.
Sorry, I just wanted to talk about donuts.
Oh, no, it's my fault. I can't think of anything else to talk about because I want to hear about donuts.
Right?
Oh man,
donuts are fucking good.
Clip that. Go ahead and just clip that. That was great.
I just want to think about donuts.
Maryland has some. Way to go. Not too close to Baltimore, but you know.
Well, guess why you're talking about content, Joe. What did you do this week? I ain't heard anything about from you.
I watched wrestling by myself because everybody else was at Magstock.
Oh
yeah,
Magstock. What the fuck is that?
Magstock is basically a mix of MAGFest and Woodstock. It's just a campground that a bunch of nerds go to. and have parties and cookouts and drinks and games and concerts. And
that sounds like something that would be up your alley. Why didn't you go?
Because it's fucking summer and it's outdoors. That is, fuck that.
That is the right answer. That is absolutely the right answer.
Well, I guess that's fair.
I'm on camera weekly. You could see how fucking fat I am. The heat does not go well with fatties.
Fair. Fair.
Oh, that
I sweat enough the way it is.
Going nuts. As usual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Magstock. That's always like the one I don't.
13th year of it too, and I've never gone to one. I've been to every single Mag Fest, not a single stock.
Yeah, So like my thing is that that's the one that I never apply to when I'm applying my bands to Mag things. I feel like I could probably even get into it because I don't know. It feels like people don't apply to that one as much. But
it's hot and it's outside.
You what?
Bust out an acoustic set.
I could do it. That bass I said I just bought is an acoustic bass.
There you go. Next year, do it.
Yeah. But what was I gonna say? Yeah. Usually like nerds camping is like too generally like drunk of a project for me to get involved in. This is like, you know, I have Ren Fair, like kind of, you know, after Ren Fair kind of like, you know, experiences that I'm like, I don't really want to do that. So
we need Bree to talk about her Ren Fair stuff.
No, for me, it was always very boring because
hers really, really aren't.
Well, we have different definitions.
Like wild.
We have them like two.
Yeah, see, wild to me is boring.
I've always wanted to go back. It's been years since I've been there. I think they're fun.
Yeah, wild is wild is boring to me. Like what most people describe as. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Should we talk about games? We got a small handful of games we got to talk about tonight. Should we dive into these?
Yeah,
I guess.
All right, let's start. Actually, before we dive into those, I do want to give a shout out to a Spoonful of Wonder. We are doing giveaways all this episode in chat on Twitch. If you don't follow us on Twitch, you should, and you should hang out with us Tuesdays and Thursdays. But,
you should also join our Discord.
You should. Good call. Spoonful of Wonder hooked us up with Copycat on Xbox to give away. So if you want to cry tonight, Spoonful of Wonder can help you. So get your entries in.
Definitely fucking can.
We will draw winners later on through the night. Yeah, hang out with us on Twitch, on Discord. All
through the night. Yeah.
Stop being an asocial fuck. Come talk to us, please.
All right, let's get into this. First game to talk about tonight is Lies of P Overture. Developed and published by NeoWiz, released June 6th, is DLC for Lies of P for $29.99. Lies of P Overture is a dramatic prequel to the acclaimed Souls-like action RPG Lies of P. It transports you to the city of Krat in its final days of haunting late 19th century beauty. On the brink of the Puppet Frenzy Massacre, you follow a legendary stalker, a mysterious guide, through untold stories and chilling secrets. As Geppetto's deadly puppet, you'll journey through Krat and its surroundings, uncover hidden backstories, and face epic battles that shape the past and future of Lies of P. Aki, tell us about your time with the DLC.
Wait, I have to interrupt.
Okay.
Joe, what was that developer again?
NeoWiz.
So Lies of P was made by NeoWiz?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes, Wiz made P. Yes, you're right.
Amazing. Okay, yeah. Muting now.
That is... How have we the never level noticed that before?
Wait, you didn't notice that?
Wiz and P? Not... No.
I've been trying not to make that joke for a while.
Well, you're in trouble for not telling me.
Unmuting right now to say good one, Joe.
Thank you. Aki, what's going on in Liza P. Overture? Apologies to NeoWiz for going off the rails immediately into the review.
Yeah, I hope they're not.
And
pissed.
Low-key kind of talking shit about Renee. You're taking a piss on them. It ain't very nice. Okay, so in this, you are playing as Pinocchio or Carlo, whatever the fuck you want to call him. And you are told, hey, there's this place in an area you've already visited. Go visit it. Some fuckies there. And then you have to actually visit a place during the campaign, mind you, because they did fully integrate it into the campaign. It's not like, oh, let me go into the main menu and then choose the DLC. No, it's actually part of the story of the main game now, which is nice. Unless you were like me and you were in a playthrough where you weren't there and then you had to go do that real quick. Yeah, you have to be through chapter 9. I think it has to be done or at least partially completed out of 11 chapters in the main game. So it is semi-late game stuff. And you go and visit an area, I think, from the fourth chapter of the game, which has a little cemetery in it. And in that cemetery, since the game's release, which I really like, there has been a broken stargazer in there that's covered in vines and moss and shit. And lots of people wanted to know what was up with that since damn near the beginning of the game came out, so it's nice that they incorporated that. But you go there and you're able to fix it suddenly with crazy energy that pops out of nowhere, and it creates the standard one, except for there's also this ring that looks like an old clock on it, which is interesting. And then you and Jiminy the Cricket stand in both, you know, lose your consciousness, and you wake up in a frozen shithole. You're in the middle of a forest. There is snow all over the ground. And it's apparently somewhat cold, even though you're a robot and it doesn't matter. And yeah, you end up finding out that you're at the zoo. A zoo that burnt down many, many years ago. So maybe this thing sent your ass back in time. Dun, dun, dun. And yeah, this ends up being very much the same as the main game, except for if you have a thing for not seeing dead animals everywhere, maybe not the game for you. Because one of the first things you see is the corpse of a giraffe that has, like, part of its head just destroyed, and it's been eviscerated, and its entrails are everywhere. So, you know... Yeah, just a little graphic, not super graphic, but just a tiny little bit, just a pinky size match. Yeah, so, you know, just give everyone a warning about that. It is at a zoo, so bad shit happens to animals. It's for life. And yeah, apparently the alchemists, who are the main bad guys of the main game, in case, you know, spoiler for anyone who hasn't, you know, played this forever old game at this point, and they have taken over this place and started mutating the animals like they have people in the main game, and basically caused hell on earth in the zoo. And there is some hunters there to deal with the situation and also to find someone who's missing, a hunter's apprentice. The apprentice to the legendary hunter, who is just called the legendary hunter because people are really bad with providing fucking names. And yeah, so you head through there just because you're there, might as well. And you start following the carnage, and it is fucking phenomenal. Yeah. And yeah, anyway,
I do appreciate that to you. September of 23 is forever ago.
that was a couple years ago. That's forever ago with my attention span. Okay, you're lucky that stuff that came out in January of this year isn't forever ago. I'm too old for this shit, people. And yeah,
I'm
so
older than you, aren't I?
Yes, by enough that it's all, yes, yes, you are significantly, and you're too old for this. Clearly, that's why we're doing all the reviews. Ah,
true.
Exactly.
I'm just bad at my pretty job. Oh.
I mean, you're a perfectly good host. Anyways, you end up having access to a around 3 to 5-ish hour long little mini campaign here. It's about the size of maybe 1.5 levels in the main game, or chapters, whatever you want to call it. And you end up getting access to a few new outfits, which I absolutely loved. For those of you who hated the Black Bunny, Black Rabbit brothers, that's what they were, I think. You get all of their outfits. So now when you play the main game and they're kicking your ass, you can dress like them and put your foot up their ass and then giggle about it. Not that I did that or anything. And yeah, you can also get, I think it's 11 weapons, including some that are special, which means you can't take them apart and mix and match the handles and blades with other ones, sadly. One of which is a bow, which is pretty cool. You also get 2 new Legion arms, which are your super robotic arm that has special powers. One of them throws out fans that act like boomerangs, more or less, and the other is just a double-barreled shotgun. Just straight up, it's just a double-barreled shotgun. And it fucks. I love that thing. It's amazing. you end up with, I think, 4 main boss battles and another 3 or 4 mini bosses, one of which is one of the hardest bosses in the entire game, as far as I'm concerned. Just one of the mini bosses. It's harder than a lot of the major bosses in the main game and DLC. It's a giant fuck off size crocodile or alligator, whichever. That
nice.
Yeah, when it's on the screen, it's hard to see you because its mouth opens large enough to fit, like, I don't know, 15 of you in. So you have to fight this thing, and it's a big bitch. And of course, it's the first mini boss of the game. So sorry to giving you a big old middle finger right there. You also get to
you see, saw it and you were like,
you a big motherfucker.
Yes, yes, I was. And it was a not it that fight was difficult, and I flipped it to easy because there's been an update since the game come out.
I was
came
just
out
about to ask the update that released that added the difficulty option. Like you beat me to it. I was just about to ask about that. Give us some info on the update there and the difficulty changes.
Okay, the major part of that update, I believe, was adding all the information for this DLC just to the base game, because the when you buy this DLC, it's like a 10 MB download. So yeah, all the stuff has been added to the actual game. So that's a majority of what the update to the game was, I think. The rest of it is adding 3 difficulties to the game. If you've been playing it since launch, you've been playing it on the hardest difficulty, which is, I think, legendary, I think is what it's called, or legend or something like that. Or you can put it on the little bitch level, which is the easiest one, which is something like blue butterfly guide or something like that. Which is what I put it on because I didn't want to have to relearn how to get fucking good, since it's been a long time since I last played this game. So I was like,
yeah, it was forever,
flip that down.
Bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
is it easier to get into with the lower difficulty? Like, do you think this is something I should try getting back into?
Yeah, it's significantly easier. However, you're still going to have trouble with it if you're not good at Souls-likes, because it is still pretty fast-paced, but you end up taking less damage and stuff on easy. So I think it's worth at least trying again, see if you can get into it. It hopefully won't annoy you as much if you're not doing good. And yeah, I don't know where I was anymore.
Yeah, it's been a while. $30. What do you think of the DLC?
I really like it. However, at $30 seems like an awful lot for just a few hours of content. So I would suggest get it at like a 20-30% off sale. I think it'd be better if it was around like $20. I think it's totally reasonable at $20. But I think it's definitely, if you like Lies of P, this is definitely worth owning. The weapons are awesome. The new Legion arms are awesome. The outfits are totally worth it. It is really fun. And it adds an upgrade to your P organ, which are allow you to basically upgrade your character's stats and stuff and give them special abilities. It gives you an upgrade to that to make them even stronger. So that's pretty kick-ass as well.
Nice. All right, let's move on. Next game, Through the Nightmares, developed and published by Sandman Team. Released June 19th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Through the Nightmares is a challenge-driven platformer for anyone who's ever had a restless night. Run, jump, and change your size to overcome the nightmare's traps. Face Morpheus, rescue children from an endless dream. For now, what is Through the Nightmares?
Oh, Through the Nightmares it's pretty much a precision platformer in that you control the character you describe to chase after the character you describe, because I don't know their names because I just jumped into the precision platforming. I know it was chasing a diabolical man in a large hat. Reminded me of somebody out of like Dudley Do-Right or something. And that was cool. But your character, I do like what they did with this game as far as the movement options go, because your character is going through nightmares, and the nightmare worlds that you're running through are themed after the children whose nightmares are being accosted. So let's say, for example, there's a kid who's afraid of like spiders or afraid of, I don't know, like monsters or something. The level you'll be in will consist of, you know, imagery that will reflect spiders or various traps that could basically impact imagery based off of that actual image or that concern. The first level has you dodging a lot of like saw blades, for example. And this is, by the way, each world consists of about 20 or so stages. In each of those stages, they're fairly short, but you're going to die a lot. But you have to get through one end of the other, dodging traps and essentially collecting treasures that are reflective of the memories of the child. And I'm not sure if there's any narrative input on that beyond just getting collectibles and learning more about the kid's dreams. But I didn't care because I always had to get the baubles when I see them on a stage. The moving to the stages, however, is running, jumping. Eventually you get like other abilities, just like the ability to like to kind of do like a dive stomp. But the most interesting aspect of this game, to me, is the ability to shrink in size. So as you're running through a level, if you hit like the left trigger button, your character will shrink to being of diminutive size. And when they are smaller, properties in the levels are impacted by that. So, for example, the most obvious thing about being small is that you can fit through narrow spaces. However, in addition to that, if you're smaller, you're also lighter in weight, which means that an object such as a mushroom that's protruding from a wall will collapse under your normal size, but under your small size, it'll stay in place and not, you know, cause an issue. If there's like a thing that will propel you into the air, heavier is better than lighter. Because heavy brings it down, then light will launch it up, that kind of concept. And I like that it actually adds a need to be even more precise, because you might be in a situation where you need to like run to a platform, jump in the air, shrink in size while you're in the air, land on the object so it doesn't collapse on you, then grow in size while on the platform, but leap off of it before you reach your full height, because once you get to full size, it's going to collapse underneath your feet. So there's some crazy levels of timing to that. Not to mention, there are situations where you'll need to use it to finesse through like dangerous objects while in the air. So you might leap while tall to get the full height momentum, because again, you can leap higher when you're tall. But you might be leaping into a bunch of some, you know, conflicting saw blades that will destroy you if you get too close. So while you're in the air, once you've got the momentum you needed, you now have to shrink so that you can fit in between the two objects and then grow again to land on the ground properly to keep moving. It gets pretty spicy. And of course, the game loves to count how many times you died while in the level. If it's tracking the full total somewhere, thank heavens I haven't found where that is. I don't want to know. But during the level itself, it definitely keeps track of how many times you died. And it makes me sad inside. There is an item that you can pick up called a flask that works as a checkpoint, but you can deploy it wherever you want within the level. You can use that to, you know, if you find that you're going to be a spot that's going to give you a lot of trouble, drop the checkpoint down, and then when you die, you'll start there. But of course, in addition to finding the item in the level, there's also a bonus for getting to the end of the level without using your flask. So you only have, not only have to find the flask in the level, but then not use it as a checkpoint and get to the end. So can you say a lot of hair pulling? Yeah, you're going to have that. But that's what this game and this style of game is meant to elicit in its players. We come here because we like things like that, and we're insane. Isn't it great? I honestly felt that the game was a lot of fun. It does the typical run through a quick level, get the baubles, get to the end. But I did like the mechanic of engaging in the height changes in order to actually manipulate elements of the stage that are dependent on your actual stature. It's a change that I'm not familiar with having existed in a game like this. And if so, please tell me so I can go play that one too, because it is a worthy change. And as a result of which, that alone propelled it to being beyond just the typical and being something that brought something new to the table for me and made me enjoy my time with this game.
All right. Any other thoughts on it? Are you ready to talk price?
I can talk price. That's the funny thing. This game, there's not a ton to it, but it doesn't need to have a ton to it. It does what it needs to do well.
All right. Well, it's a $20 game. Quick update. I noticed it is published on console by Pingle Studio. So developed by Sandman Team, published by Sandman Team and Pingle Studio. It is a $20 game. What are your thoughts?
I honestly think it's a buy. I mean, like as they always say, if you think that's too high for at least 80 stages, wait for sale. But if the price is a non-issue, I think you'll have fun with this if you're down with precision platformers.
Very good. And just got to point this out. The description on the Xbox Store does mention 6 unique locations.
So there
God
you
damn
go.
You.
There's even more unique. Oh, I didn't even mention there's chase levels. Sorry about that. You'll enjoy that shit, too. So, if the developer is listening, if you could make it possible to kind of ignore the thing chasing me in favor of giving me more imagery to see in front of my character, that would be great. Because you have very little time to react to things in front of you during the chase sequences.
Cool, cool. And just noticed we are at 469 for a nice number of times said nice unique since October unique. 22.
Nice, 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 and nice. You had to say it 4 times total to make it count.
Very good.
Well, we just ruined that by acknowledging it because that adds to the count.
Yeah.
The count of unique. Oh, well. Oh, you ruined it. Unique.
No,
unique,
it doesn't.
Unique, 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 unique. How many more times?
We're not counting all those. We're not counting all.
No counting spam.
Next game to talk about, Chronicles of the Wolf, developed by Megami Games, published by P-Cube and Pixel Heart. Released June 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Hunt the legendary beast of... I'm not trying that name. Someplace in Chronicles of the Wolf. Step into the boots of Matteo Lombardo in this epic adventure featuring brutal bosses, vast castles, and secrets to uncover. Narration by the legendary Robert Belgrade and other special appearances. Chris, what is Chronicles of the Wolf?
I think it's Gévaudan is how they pronounce it in the game. Gévaudan.
I don't even anyway. Think I could say that if I practiced.
Well, practice your French J's. Okay.
Jackass.
Gévaudan.
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 You got it.
So what is Chronicles of the Wolf?
Well, be prepared to have that Jevadon count going, because we're gonna break that 469 tonight. No, just kidding. Okay, so Chronicles of the Wolf is, interestingly, from a developer who got their start making Castlevania fan games. In fact, this same developer made Wallachia, Reign of Dracula, which is, Reign of Dracula, which is a, it's been on my Switch wish list for a while. I actually never picked it up, but it looked pretty cool. I was like, okay, so this is definitely like somebody's trying to make a Castlevania game. I should check it out because I really love Castlevania. But yeah, it kind of passed me by, but then this one landed in my lap. So I'm like, all right, it's time to go. This one, yeah, you play as Matteo Lombardo, which I love it. He's a churchy knight who goes hunting a werewolf with, you know, all the other dudes, nameless dudes, which is good that they're nameless because they die in the next frame. They all get, it plays the narration, which I'll get back to the narration in a minute, but they play the narration and then, like, you wake up and all your friends are just instantly dead. They all got spawn camped by the big baddie of the game, which appears to be a werewolf. I say it like that because of the MST3K episode Werewolf. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's on YouTube. But yeah, MST3K
is always good.
I know. It's one of my favorite episodes as well. It's one of the, anyway, I'm going to get distracted. So yeah, then your guy picks himself up and starts shambling around like a Belmont, and he has a sword equipped and meets with a mysterious woman who tells him the direction to the nearest town and then goes away. Huh?
Is she hot?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. Not scantily clad or anything. Like, she's kind of like hot badass. We don't know her true identity, except that there are whispers in town that she is a famous hero. But yeah, that's all we get for the first part of the game. Anyways, you then get to a town and you kind of like, you get to talk to people and like discover clues about like what's going on. And then you can venture out to the left or right. Of course, the right, your progress is impeded by a mysterious thing. So you go to the left and you get through a small dungeon and, you know, raise a drawbridge and, you know, you go to different places and obtain powers that get you into more places. That's right. It's a Castlevania. That's for Purnell, because I was going to call it a Metroidvania, but there's no Metroid in this besides the map.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it's lit. It's so, like, if you were gonna, like, even the sales page for this game calls it a Metroidvania, and I'm like, dude, this is, like, just Castlevania. That's all that is. It's, yeah, it very much wants to be Symphony of the Night. And let me give you a clue as to why we know that, is because I'm having to scroll to the names. Stalling for time here. Why did I close that tab? Anyways, the people that are involved in this game, like I said, have made like a bunch of like Castlevania fan games, and the narrator that they got is actually the voice of Alucard from Symphony of the Night. So that's actually really cool. You remember him, right? I'm interested in this. Like, that guy is your narrator. Robert Belgrade. I accidentally closed the tab with his name on it. Speaking of which, I might get to meet the voice actor of Dracula from that game next month. He's going to be at the same con that I'm going to be at.
Nice.
Anyways. So, yeah, this game is, like, very much a love letter to, like, that kind of game. You know, when you get, like, a slide and fireballs, and you can even get a gun. Because you can buy, like, different styles of weapons, and one of them is rifle, which is pretty great. I mean, and that does recall, like, Wallachia, Reign of Dracula, because the main character is an archer in that game. So there's a little bit of, range weapon kind of stuff going on to it. But yeah, it's bloody. It's very, very beautifully done and, really nice pixel art. It's a lot of the tropes and a lot of the kind of, things that you would expect to see in it would definitely resonate strongly with like Castlevania fans. It is on like the puzzly side a little bit, and there are a few little differences here and there. Like I said, a lot of it is actually pretty original to this particular IP, which is very nice. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like if you're looking at this and you're like, oh, I see what this is, then you're like, well, yes, that is exactly correct. That is exactly what it is. So having said, it's fun. I have really enjoyed exploring it, and like it's got like those kind of things where it's like you might jump over like this broken bridge outside of town a whole bunch of times because an enemy pops out of it and comes at you, and then you're like, all right, but one time that enemy might hit you and you end up in the hole, like Castlevania style, but then that just takes you to another thing. And so like I don't know, it's got like some clever moves to it as far as that goes. It also has, like I said, a bit of voice acting. When you talk to like shop owners or something like that, they, do the, can I help you kind of stuff. Your character has some voice actors. Like I said, there's also, Robert Belgrade's narration. There's also, there's apparently, I haven't run into her yet, but there is apparently a guest boss from Bloodstained, which is the other, not quite Castlevania, but the one that's much higher profile because it was made by a person who literally made this style of Castlevania.
Yes, Bloodless, voiced by Kira Buckland.
Yes, who I don't think is the original, maybe the original voice actor of it, but I looked her up. She's one of those that's done like a ton of anime and video games, so it's actually hard to find like what she's done in specific things, but that's voice acting for you. But anyways, yeah, so like they also, it mentioned the guest or the soundtrack, and it has a guest composer too, so you've got I lost his name too. Jeffrey Montoya is the main composer, but they got the a guest as well, Oscar. Now here's where I'm gonna mess up. Arojo, I don't know, Oscar Arojo, but he's the guy that worked on the later Xbox Castlevania games, the Lords of Shadow series. So he contributed some tracks to the game. It's not very specific in the description. In fact, it's very funny when I look at the description of this game on Nintendo's website, because it's very it's very vague on certain things. Like it says, featuring a guest appearance from Bloodless, the iconic crimson-soaked adversary from a critically acclaimed gothic action series. And enhancing the game's rich atmosphere, Oscar Arojo, known for his work on one of the most iconic adventure series in the history of video games, wink. And so, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's so funny how blurred the lines are getting between this particular beloved franchise that we don't get to see like any new entries in, and like all of the people who are clearly very talented, like making an attempt to kind of revive it through these other properties that are, very familiar, but can't quite say what they are, at the very least, like I said, when it was Castlevania fan games, they actually used the word Castlevania, but I mean, I get why you can't say it, but it's very funny to me because these are starting to get real good. Like it's almost getting to the point where it's like, I don't even think you really need to associate with the other thing anymore besides that you just, grabbed up, some of the mechanics and stuff, but hell, we call everything Metroidvania anyway. So it's like, I don't know. That's going off on a tirade. Either way, I really enjoyed this game. I do want to point out that I was unable to play this on the Switch 2, but I understand because of a issue that is specific to that console, But I reached out to Joe, who reached out to the developer, and apparently they are going to fix that. So,
They released a statement a few days ago, apologizing for the situation that they are working on. So,
if it gets once it gets fixed or whatever, it's not even released yet, so I'm not even worried about it. But if they fix that, I'll mention later that it's Switch 2 ready, because right now it says Switch 2 compatibility is supported. But that ain't the truth. I've been playing this on Switch 1.
All right, well, it is available on Switch 1, PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox One, Series X and S. It is $20. What is your opinion on Chronicles of the Wolf?
Yeah, that's a pretty cheap Castlevania. I say go ahead and get it.
Very good. Yeah. All right, next up, let's do another Nightmare with Nightmare Frontier, developed and published by Ice Code Games, released June 16th, Steam Early Access for $19.99. Behold the first ever tactical extraction looter, where you pit your courage and leadership against fears made manifest, the Dreadweavers. Lead a band of scavenger roughnecks into a devastated boomtown, the alternative 1900s. Get in, face the monsters, grab what you can carry, and get out alive. For now, what's Nightmare Frontier?
Nightmare Frontier. This review's over. Start over.
Huh?
I was kidding, but you missed it. I was like, start over. I already made a blunder. But
Next game to talk about is Nightmare.
So Nightmare Frontier is an interesting game because I'll talk about the things I'll bring it up. So it's an interesting game in that it is a node-based exploration tactical game. But unlike a lot of games of this ilk, something that makes it stand out is, where the extraction comes in is the fact that when you enter a location of your choosing, which I'll get into shortly, you actually don't leave the location normally, usually there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you plot your route throughout the entirety of that based on seeing what's to come throughout your journey. In the case of this game, however, they change it up by requiring you to exit a level by way of finding a specific type of location that gives you the ability to disappear and escape at your will. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, I'll talk about the meat of the game and then circle back around to what that actually means in the context of the game. So, for the most part, you're in a city, and the city is composed of a multitude of districts. On a run, you're meant to choose your party members, of which you can take three with you into a run, and then choose a location with which you'd like to go. These locations vary in difficulty, as well as Nightmare Manifest, which I'll bring up in a minute, and also the loot that you can get or likely to find while in that location. So, you choose your characters. What determines who you decide you want to bring on a run? Well, characters come in a multitude of classes, such as the sharpshooter, which, by the way, I feel is very good at the normal difficulty. I have yet to really have a run where I did not want to just have sharpshooters, but sharpshooters who are riflemen, they do really good damage using rifle attacks, but rifles have limited ammo, so you don't get to do too many with them in a particular battle. And then there's other characters like choppers, who can use butcher knives and weapons like that in the melee form to do additional melee damage, but the throwback is that they can't do an action that most other characters can do, which is push enemies back into objects, thereby doing additional damage to them or just displacing them on the map. And one of the biggest reasons why you might want to choose a character, something that is very unique to this game that I've never seen in another game like this, is the nightmares in this game are exactly that. They are creatures that prey on the fears of human beings. So every character in this game has a particular phobia or thing that they're afraid of. And based on that fear, it determines what type of enemy or enemies you may see on a given run. You see a character who's afraid of wendigos, you're going to see wendigos. You see a character who's afraid of spiders, well, there's a gunslinger who's a combination of gunslinger and arachnid, and is a pretty cool little critter, if I do say so myself. And there's other areas like that where if you know a particular enemy that will give you problems in certain areas, you might choose not to bring that type of characters with that type of phobia into a given run, because you just know you're going to be dealing with a lot of that type of enemy, and you might not want to go that route. So, once you've chosen your team, and you've chosen the location you want to go to, boom, ang, bang, you're in. You select a spot. And then the tree of options appears. You start at one node at the bottom, and you'll work your way up. You get to choose your next location, and the game gives you a run of options. It could be just a general battle. It could be an event space, what have you. Sometimes the event space might give you a buff that will apply to your party for a certain number of battles, or you may find yourself just getting a immediate effect, like a party heal or something like that. Sometimes an item on the ground, but most of the time, you're going to get down and dirty in the brawl pit with some enemies. Once you choose that location, the game will set you up with a place or an area on a map where you're able to deploy three or more units, and you can choose where you want them to go or whatever. And once you've chosen all of that, you get the battle going, and they're ready to activate. Enemies are in one zone, your character's in another, and you move throughout. You have movement actions, which are determined by your character's speed. The higher the speed, the more distance you can cover on a grid-based map. You have melee attacks. Typically, even the most bare-bones attacker can get a melee attack in the form of a punch, where he can just punch a guy, knock him back, and, as I mentioned earlier, knock them into objects, displace them, punch them into traps, etc. And if they knock into an object, they will take additional damage and get displaced further in. In addition to that, you might have pocket items, which will give you additional effects like healing or ranged attacks that are not gun-based. Sky's the limit, really. And more often than not, you'll be dealing with kill all the enemies. But every once in a while, you might take on an event where you'll find an additional hero who's kind of stuck in the wild. And on those levels, you don't necessarily have to kill all the enemies. Instead, you'll succeed at the level if you manage to get everybody to an extraction point on the map. So you may be able to run if you need to. Hopefully you don't find yourself in a position where you need to run from monsters. But hey, it's nice that you have a way out in that situation. Every once in a while, you'll also come across items called Nightmare Essences on the map. If you walk over them on the first turn of battle, only the first turn, you get the option of picking those up and carrying them throughout the rest of the level. If you use it during the battle, you can use it for different effects, such as, you know, disrupting nightmare monsters and pushing them away from you, or healing effects of statuses. But if you keep it for the entire battle, you will be able to use it as currency if you escape the raid. So worth having. So once you've done a typical battle and succeed, you'll get all the rewards from it, and you'll be able to proceed with choosing your next location from the series of locations accessible to you from the node you stopped on. You can't see the entire map. You can only see a few segments up, and you can't see what those segments do, only the segments directly in front of you. So if you recognize a symbol, you might know, oh, crap, that looks like the symbol that represented that pharmacy event I went to last time. So maybe that is a pharmacy. Again, I don't know, but I need to heal, so maybe I'll gun for it and hope for the best. But once you get one spot away from it, the game lets you splat out, you know, inspect what they are. You'll be battling with monsters. You'll be battling with limited inventory space. You'll be dealing with nightmare essence generation. During battles, you'll slowly see this bar build up from monsters spawning on the map, people getting killed, etc. And as this thing crosses various thresholds, various effects will unlock on the level, which you do not want to see because they all kind of blow. Typically, there'll be things such as essentially setting you up for getting, you know, higher damage from certain types of monsters. It's just not good. So basically the monsters might get more hit points. They'll attack in crazier waves. It just varies depending on it. And the harder the zone that you're in, the more effects and buffs you'll see at earlier stages of this. There are ways for the nightmare gauge to get knocked back down, such as certain items or maybe coming across events that will decrease it by like a couple notches on the belt. But long story short, the further into the run you go, if you want to go balls to the wall to see how far you can get on a run, the more likely you're going to have to contend with this stuff. So prepare yourself. In fact, I would go so far as to say that the nightmare buffs are probably the main meat and potatoes on what determines how long you want to stay in a zone. because you might find yourself going, well, inventory's kind of full, but I think I'm going to get something better if I just stick it out long enough to get to a long run. But if the nightmare range goes up, well, you might just get overrun by frenzied up Wendigos and not have a shot in hell of succeeding. Of course, thankfully, if you die, the only penalty is getting kicked out. But if I remember correctly, you get to keep all the people you found on a run. So you get to keep all the people, all the new units. I can't remember if you take any of your items away, though. But essentially, don't worry about that. Just don't die. Easy, right? Yeah, it is. So ultimately, thing about this game that I thought was particularly funny is that as I was playing the game, I noticed certain things like the push mechanic, how they handle the butcher melee combat. And the thing that really caught me, when you defeat a puppet monster, they leave a string behind, which you can use to leap across the map. Seemed really specifically familiar. And I was right to realize that, because these are also the guys who developed the game I reviewed for the show a few months ago called Rogue Waters, which I also enjoyed. So it may not surprise you to understand and realize that I also like this game, too. I would like to get to a point where I feel like sharpshooters aren't so freaking useful, but for now, I'm fine with that, too. But as it stands, I think this game is a lot of fun. I like that they do certain things right with this. There are objectives the game gives you to knock out so that you can progress through the game proper. So I do believe there is a final end point to the game. I haven't reached it yet, but I am enjoying going out my business to get there eventually, so I like this game.
Very good.
I forgot one more thing. But I always do this. I got to start writing notes for this shit. I forgot to mention that when you're back at the base, you can also take the resources that you find on runs to upgrade your equipment and your weapons. So there are a number of trees you can build up on for some of these things, and some of the upgrades are pretty cool. Sometimes unlocking additional attacks on equipment that you're carrying, too, to make your characters more versatile. Upgrade your shit. It's great. Now I'm done, I swear.
All right. Well, it is an early access game. They anticipate the release to be Q1 26, so they expect to be in early access for about 6 to 8 months. The big thing that they're mentioning is that they plan to take a lot of feedback from the community. They previously worked with publishers and weren't very happy with things. So they're doing this on their own, so there's more flexibility and like timelines and whatnot. They say that the price will very likely increase after early access. It's $20 right now.
I will say this. I'm looking at their roadmap, too, so they just add to that stuff, too. Funny enough, they don't even have a final boss fight yet. That's coming in Q4 25. But, oh well, I haven't gotten there anyway, so I don't give a crap. they're going to add ricochet mechanics, which I always enjoy in games like this. So there's going to definitely be a number of additional things, additional fears, and there's going to be more things you can do at your headquarters. So it was a thing that I would have liked to have seen already, but I didn't care because I was like, I'm enjoying what I'm getting out of it. But the fact that they're going to add more to the headquarters sounds pretty cool to me. So yeah, the roadmap already looks pretty interesting to me.
All right. Well, it is $20 right now. If you buy it before the end of the month, you could get it for $15. What are your thoughts on this game at $20?
I'm typically not much for paying, like $20 for an early access game. But again, I like what I'm getting out of it so far. So, I mean, they're just going to add more to it and eventually likely probably increase the price when it's done. So I think it's fine as it is. I think it's worth buying.
Rock on. Speaking of nightmares, I just had a nightmare of my own. I heard a noise, looked over, and I saw one of my Assassin's Creed statues knocked over. I'm like, was a cat up there? What the fuck happened? How did it fall? I went over.
He didn't react. Good man.
It's in two pieces.
Might have been muted.
It snapped.
Oh,
it broke?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Wow, that sucks, yo.
Where the foot connects to the base, it just fucking snapped.
So now you gotta get all the cats in one room and go, "Who? What you fuckers did it?"
I don't know. It wasn't a cat. It's just it broke.
It just happened. Damn.
Yeah.
I guess it did. It was. Its time was up.
Well, it's the that's Odyssey why they
statue. So it's an older one, but or no, the Origin statue. So it's older than Odyssey, but yeah,
sometimes
it sucks. it just broke on its own.
I mean, I guess one small positive is now you might be like, well, I got another statue I didn't have space for because it was, you know, all the other space was taken. You got space for another statue to go up.
No, Gorilla Glue exists for a reason.
No, I don't think Gorilla Glue's gonna handle this.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's such a small area. It appears there was a metal rod in there, but either it didn't go deep enough or that snapped too.
Holy shit. I'm surprised. That sucks. I'm super bummed. Yeah, because the Assassin's Creed ones are always really cool looking, so that fucking blows. I'm so sorry. Yay! That's shitty.
Overmask, thank you for the sub. Earlier, before we went live, Slap My Penguin subbed as well. Thank you both. Enjoy the kitty cat emotes. And of course, enjoy those extra contest entries. We're giving away Copycat at the end of the show. One last game to talk about. Instance, developed by Endflame, published by Endflame, Next Time, and Space Jazz. Released June 7th on Steam for $11.99. Assemble a chronological puzzle of family photos to piece together their most cherished memories. Uncover the family's life story as you arrange the pictures in the correct order within carefully crafted albums. Unleash your creativity. Decorate them with multiple scrapbooking tools. Aki, what is Instance?
Well, sadly for this one, that's basically it. You are just told one day, hey, can you make a scrapbook for me? You were really good at this when you were a kid. Could you please? I'd really appreciate it. And that starts you on your journey of making a fuck ton of these things. The interesting aspect of it is you actually have to figure out when items happened in the photos and put them in order. That's the puzzle mechanic of this game. And through doing, there's an easy way of doing this and a hard way of doing it. You can do it like they intend you to do it. And look at, like, oh, there's a picture of a person and a baby. Here's a picture of that same person and an older kid. I wonder which one maybe was first. Probably the older kid was the baby. There you go. Some of them even have dates on them and stuff. So you can kind of figure out through that. There's also, you can go and look at it, and it tells you who's all in the photos. So you can kind of figure out, oh, this person's wearing similar clothes as the other person, but they're two different people. Okay, so that maybe isn't in the chronological issue. Or you can do it the way I did it, because I'm a shitheel. And you can do the wondrous thing of putting down a handful of pictures, and there's a line that goes in between the pictures. If it's green, they're right next to each other in order exactly how they should be. If it's yellow, it means there's some stuff in between them that you're missing. And if it's red, it don't fucking go there. I went by the lines because I am really bad at this stuff. So I was just like, that's a green line. That works. Okay, where does this go? Oh, that's a red line. Doesn't go there. Oh, there's a yellow line. All right, it goes somewhere around-ish there. Good enough for me. Until I figured it out.
Proud of you.
So, yeah, sorry devs, I'm the exact problem with these types of games right there. And yeah, so you end up doing this for a whole bunch of different family members and stuff, and it gives you a little bit of backstory of the family, because this is all literally just your family that you're doing this for, and I think your friend, one of your high school friends as well. And yeah, all you're doing is just creating a whole bunch of these for everyone you know and care about. Some of them get kind of long. There are a few of them that I typically put two pictures per page, but you can put one per page if you really wanted, because I think the book just goes the fuck on forever. You can decorate it however you want. You can put little pieces of tape that are in various different colors. You can put little stickers in there, stuff like that. Or you can do what I did, which was none of that, and just like, hey, here's your thing in order. I'm sorry it's blank, but I got it done for you. So yeah, you can beautify it if you want. That's clearly what the intention is. I only care about the puzzles, really. And I was like, oh, this is a simple way of solving this puzzle. So yeah, you do get to piece together this a little bit of the character's life, not a lot of it, but like the main character that you play is a lesbian or bisexual, but is in a relationship with a woman at the very least, and you get to see how some of their family reacted, so on and so forth. It's not super deep or anything, because again, it's only told in like, oh, here's someone who mentioned it in a letter. So there's not going to be, like, a lot to that. Because it's not like they're writing, you know, a novel here for you. And yeah, I thought it was pretty cute, actually. So I'm all for it. I think it's really cute. So ask me the questions.
It is $12. What's your verdict?
I'm totally for it. $12 is a nice little simple price for this game. I'm all for that.
You know what? $12 is less than the cost of my bucks. Assassin's Creed statue. Cool.
Big oof energy there. Big oof.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are done with this episode. Thanks to you three for hanging out, keeping us company, being here, doing your thing. Music. I'll play something. You'll anyone have any out. Final thoughts? Do. Or should we just wrap this up?
Let's just wrap it up. I'm too stupid to come up with things.
Cool. Final words.
Don't be dumb about your Switch too.
I don't have a Switch.
Yeah, I saw that.
Make good choices. Don't be an idiot.
Don't use a flash card on your Switch too. You're gonna get banned, you stupid asshole.